I'm very compassionate to all children, so I'm completely in favor of allowing them to go someplace else and play if they want. Are they going to play right outside the door? Is that the idea? This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 10th chapter. Okay, you just became eligible to leave, whoever that was. I'm not competitive with children. They have their world, I have mine, and the two shouldn't cross. So that child can go. The child has parents, yes? This is your chance. Any children who are left crying or making sounds during my lecture, I'm going to put them in my bag and have them for breakfast tomorrow. Okay, this is the child. Does this child have a mother and father? This child right here with the tan t-shirt. That child has a mother and father or not? No one wants to claim him? No, out. 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 You, out. May you be happy. Sukhi ho. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 10th chapter, 20th verse. Aham Atma Vurakesha. Sarvabhutashaya Stitaha. Hamadishtra Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Ante Eva Cha Ahamatma Gurakesha Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha Hamadishtra Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Ante Eva Cha Ahamatma Gurakesha Sarva Bhutashaya Stitaha Ahamadishtra Madhyam Cha Bhutanam Anta Eva Cha Aham I Atma the soul Gudakesha.
Gudakesha.
O Arjuna.
Sarvabhuta.
Of all living entities.
Ashayastitaha.
Situated within the heart.
Aham.
I am.
Adihi.
The origin. Cha. Also. Madhyam.
Middle.
Cha. Also.
Bhutanam.
Of all living entities.
Antaha.
End.
Eva.
Certainly.
Cha.
End. I am the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Why don't you all move up, because more people may come. Everyone forward. Age, Age, please. I am the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Purport. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Gudakesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant, because Arjuna is above such darkness. The Personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Om Ajnana Timiran Tasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam. Coming short today, I have an airport to go to. In this 10th chapter, Lord Krishna describes his vibhutis, his special excellences. Arjuna wants to know how to think of Krishna pervading the entire material world. What are the specific opulences, the specific excellent manifestations by which I can always think of you here in this world? Please tell me in detail. Oh, Krishna says, what detail shall I tell you? I have unlimited opulences, but I'll tell you about a few of the most prominent among them. I'll tell you about a few of the most prominent among them. Krishna first informs Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire cosmic manifestation by dint of his primary expansion. before the material creation, the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansion, accepts the Purusha incarnation, and from him everything begins. Therefore, he is Atman, the soul of the Mahatattva, the universal elements. The total material energy is not the cause of the creation. Actually, the Mahavishnu enters into the Mahatattva, the total material energy. He is the soul. When Mahavishnu enters into the manifested universes, he again manifests himself as the Supersoul in each and every entity. We have experience that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Without the existence of the spiritual spark, the body cannot develop. Similarly, the material manifestation cannot develop unless the Supreme Soul, Krishna, enters. As stated in the Subal Upanishad, Prakrityadi Sarvabhutantarayami Sarvasheshi Cha Narayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing as the Supersoul in all manifested universes. The Ahamatma Buddha-kesha, Krishna begins by saying, I'm the soul situated within all manifestations. And the Mayavadis, of course, will love this. Yes, within everyone is the soul, and that soul is God. Tattvamasi, you're also God, I'm also God. And here's the proof in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that I am the soul within everyone, so there's no difference between the soul and God or the soul and Krishna. Huh? That's what they'll say. That means they haven't understood Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is pointing out here different manifestations of himself. Different manifestations. In one sense, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So there's no difference between Krishna and anything else, because Krishna includes everything. At the same time, there's a difference, just like a fire. In a fire, there's no difference between the fire and the smoke and the sparks and the fuel and the flames. Altogether, they're one with the fire. Still, there's a difference between smoke and flames. When you cook, you don't put your pot on the smoke. You put it on the flames. And if someone comes and says, well, there's no difference because the smoke is fire and the flames are fire, you'll say, you're cuckoo. They may be one as fire, but they're different also. So Lord Krishna is one with everything. He's also different from everything. Aham Atma Buddha-kesha. He says, I'm the Atma in the heart. He also says, Jashanam Makaras Chasmi. Among the aquatics, I'm the shark. Now, will the Mayavadis say that the shark is God? Huh? Among beasts, I'm the lion. Now is the lion the king of beasts, suddenly become the king of everything? So that we're going to worship lions? Maybe surrender to the lion, offer our obeisances to the lion. Offer our children to the lion. That's a thought. No. Krishna is pointing out that within every manifestation or every group, every category, there's some outstanding manifestation. So that outstanding manifestation represents me. That outstanding manifestation represents me. So when you see something outstanding, you can think of Krishna. When you see a great tree, a great mountain, a great waterfall, the great sun, the great moon, And you can think of Krishna. Because yad vibhuti mat satvam srimad rujitam eva va tattaleva avagacchatvam mamate jomsa sambhavam. Krishna says all of these vibhutis come from a spark of me. They're just one fraction of my, represent one fraction of my power. Mamivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says these living beings are all part of me. He doesn't say there's no difference between me and the living being. They're one, that's all right. I'm soul, Krishna is soul. But Krishna is the Param Brahma, the supreme soul, Paramatma, the supreme Atma. And I'm the subordinate Atma. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanam, Chaitanam. So the business of the small Atma is to serve the great Atma. The business of the hand is to serve the body. The business of the part is to serve the whole. To try to obliterate the distinction between the whole and the part is mischievous. It's mischievous. So in Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada doesn't indulge in any of this flattery, you're God, I'm God, everyone's God. Instead, from the very beginning, he says that Krishna is the Paramatma. Aham Atma Gudakesha means that Krishna is the supreme Atma. Just as within this body, the body is matter, without the presence of the soul, the matter is of no use. There'll be no life. The body depends upon the presence of the soul. As long as the soul is there, the body is beautiful, the body is acting. As soon as the soul leaves the body, then the body is nasty and useless. So as the soul is the vital principle, the living force of the body, so Krishna is the vital force, the vital principle within the cosmic manifestation. Goodbye. Thank you. Very much appreciated. So Krishna is the vital force of the entire cosmic manifestation. The cosmic manifestation only works because of the presence of the soul. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladeva describes that before the creation, all the elements were there. All the ingredients were there. But they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. They were inert. And it was only when the personality of Godhead enters within everything that all of these living, all of these elements, all of these ingredients are activated. It's only by the presence of Krishna. Matter doesn't work on its own. Matter works by the presence of spirit. So as the soul is the living force of the body, so Krishna is the living force of the entire cosmic manifestation. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhutashe Astitaha. From another point of view, the Atma in everyone's heart is also Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and the living being, because the living being has no separate existence. Just as the sun rays have no separate existence from the sun, the Atma has no existence separate from the existence of the Paramatma. Our sense of having a separate existence is called illusion. There is no separate existence of anything, neither of ourselves, nor of our bodies, nor of this world, nor of anything. Everything exists as part of Krishna in relationship to Krishna. Nothing exists separately. Bhayam dhitiya vinideshitasya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said that this idea that there's something other than Krishna, this idea stemming from forgetfulness of Krishna, is the source of fear in the material world. The source of fear, the source of death. Death is the ultimate fear. At the root of it is our forgetfulness of Krishna. And the remedy is remembrance of Krishna. So in this chapter, Krishna wants to help Arjuna remember him by thinking that the living entity within everyone's heart is also part of Krishna. And the Paramatma, situated next to that living entity, is Krishna himself in his feature as the super soul. The business of the soul and the super soul are described in the Upanishads as two friendly birds sitting in one tree. The one bird is eating the fruit of the tree, which is sometimes sweet and sometimes bitter. And the other bird is simply waiting. When is this other bird, foolish bird, going to give up this business of eating this fruit, that fruit, and turn toward me? So the soul is there and the super soul are there as two different manifestations. One is Krishna himself, and the other is Krishna's marginal energy. The three Purusha avatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also described in the Satvata Tantra. Vishnos tu trini rupani purushatyan yato vidhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests three features as Karnadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Kshiradakshay Vishnu in this material manifestation. The Mahavishnu or Karnadakshay Vishnu is described in the Brahma Samhita. Yat Karanarnava Jale Bhajati Smayoga Nidram. The Supreme Lord Krishna, the cause of all causes, lies down in the cosmic ocean as Mahavishnu. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestations, and the end of all energies. Aham adishcha madhyamcha bhutanam anta evacha. He is the origin of everything because he appears as the Mahavishnu, and from here all the universes proceed. He is the middle of everything because everything rests on him. And he's the end of everything because at the end it's the Vishnu himself who destroys everything through his portion as Lord Shiva. So everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. We're either in the beginning of something, in the middle of something, or just reaching the end of something. And the beginning, middle, and end of everything are Krishna. So we're always in touch with Krishna. Only we've forgotten. And our business, by reading Bhagavad Gita, by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with devotees, by following the method given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to revive our Krishna consciousness and in this way make our life successful. Hare Krishna. We have a few minutes for questions. Are there some? And who has a question? Hare Krishna. Loud.
Karna Daksha Vishnu, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, Kshira Daksha Vishnu. Can you briefly explain?
Karna Daksha Vishnu. These three Vishnu features are all expansions of Krishna. Krishna expands finally as the Mahavishnu or Karna Daksha Vishnu. Yakaranarna Vajale Pagati Swayoga Nidramananta. He's lying down in yoga nidra, cosmic sleep. And while he's breathing, when he exhales, all the universes come out, like little bubbles from his nostrils and the pores of his body. And these little bubbles, the universes, exist for as long as his one breath goes on. That one breath is equal to 4,300,000 times 1,000 times 2 times 12 times 30 times 100 of our solar years. That's one breath of the Mahavishnu. Therefore, he's called Maha. Great. Someone will say, oh, these are fairy stories. But there are insects that are born at night. They live their whole life. Their whole family life, everything takes place in one night. And in the morning, you find them dead underneath the lights. In Mayapur, especially in some season, these bugs come out like crazy. And they're born at night, and they like the lights, so they go for them, and then you find heaps of them underneath the lights in the morning. So they live one night only. Now, if you tell these little bugs that, sir, you may only be living for one night, but there are human beings who live for hundreds and hundreds of years. They have 360 of your nights in their 1 year only. And they live 50 or 100 years. And they have these things called days, which are as long as your nights. And there is an equal number of them. Then the bug will say, sir, I'm a rational bug. I don't believe these things. But we understand from scripture that Mahavishnu has such an existence. And he further expands himself within each universe as the Garbhodakshay Vishnu. The Garbhodakshay Vishnu is like the super soul of the whole universe. He is lying down. You've seen the picture. He's lying on Anantashesh, and from his navel grows the lotus flower, which is the birthplace of Lord Vishnu. Those of you who've visited the Ananta Padmanabh temple in Trivandrum, so Tiruvananthapuram now it's called, have seen the deity of the Lord just in that feature. Then again the Lord expands himself as the Kshiradakshay Vishnu, who's the super soul or the form of the Lord situated within the heart. Ishra Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshirgimatishkiti. He's the yogis see him. Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena. Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashanti Yam Yogina. The yogi seeing within the heart. He's providing remembrance, forgetfulness, knowledge. He's the Shuddhakshaya Vishnu. And in the Shastra it said that one who knows these three Vishnus is liberated from material existence. That's the short summary. Does the Atma acquire good qualities or bad qualities as per our actions and leave a particular body and take another after death? Yes, the Atma leaves one body at death and takes another. Tata dehantara prapti. And yes, by his actions and by his association, he picks up good and bad qualities. Yes?
What if the soul goes through his life and never looks at the super soul? What happens?
The soul who goes through his whole life and never looks at the super soul? So he looks at matter instead.
So what happens later?
Therefore he becomes associated with matter. He becomes associated with matter. In three qualities, goodness, passion, or ignorance. Or some combination of those.
And when the life finishes,
Urvam gacchanti sattvasta, those who have acquired the mode of goodness go up to the heavenly planets. Madhye tishtanti rajasa, those who are in the mode of passion go through another round of passionate activity here. And Chaganya gunadvritishta dhogashtanti tamasa. And those who've acquired the mode of ignorance go down to the lower species, dogs and hogs and lower than that. That's a very risky civilization we're in because it's cultivating the modes of passion and ignorance. Therefore we're educating our sons and daughters to come back again in the lower species of life, to cultivate passion, to cultivate ignorance, to forget about goodness. And therefore, very risky business. That again, they'll have to, first of all, come back to the material world. Even in the mode of goodness, one has to come back in the material world. But in passion and ignorance, one comes into the lower sections. Even in human society, the mode of passion is not the higher section of human society. And the mode of ignorance is animal life. And that risk is there. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. Become transcendental to all three modes of material nature. How is it possible? Mam eva ye prapadyante. Mayam etam tarantita. Surrender to me. Chant Hare Krishna, surrender, and get free from these material qualities. Then, chakvadeham punarjanmanai. Then, no coming back. We go back to Krishna. Yeah, maybe one more. When we die, the soul goes from the body. Is there any other way we can pull out our soul from the body before we die? What do you want to do that for? When we dream, the soul leaves the body, goes wandering around. But what's the use? Come back again. There's no benefit. We may leave the body. Sometimes people have out-of-body experiences. And when we dream, we all have out-of-body experiences. We dream that I'm in on the moon, or I'm in India, or someplace. Even though my body's lying on the bed. But that leaving the body is temporary and of no real benefit. There are people who dedicate their lives actually to trying to figure out or to practice some way that they can project themselves out of the body and have, at their own will, out-of-body experiences. But so what? Does it mean that they won't continue in the cycle of birth and death? Does it mean that they get freed from material existence? Does it mean that they get free from the body? No. It just means they go sightseeing, you know, mystic sightseeing, and then come back. And then take another body and so on. What's the use? Better to stay in this body and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that the body is a bad bargain for the soul. But by using the body in Krishna's service, we make the best use of the bad bargain. Chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna. So, all right, we have to stay in this body for some time. So we'll tolerate the difficulties of this body and take advantage of the opportunity given by the human body, because the human body is the chance. Higher intelligence, higher facility for cultivating Krishna consciousness so that we can solve the problems of material existence once and for all. But if we use this body just for eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then we're wasting the opportunity. But now that we have the human body, when we use it for inquiring about Krishna consciousness, for advancing in Krishna consciousness, for reviving our relationship with Krishna, then we make the best use of this bad bargain. And at the end, we get a good bargain. We go back home, back to Godhead. I have time for one more. There is one more. When we see the deities of the Lord, Krishna and Radha, instead of Krishna, why we take the name of Radha? Is there any explanation? We're chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
So Krishna addresses Krishna and Hare addresses Srimati Radharani. So they're both there. Maha Mantra is complete. The Lord and the Lord's energy. Both are there when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you all very much. I have to leave.